We read in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, and verse 6. Jesus says to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me." A good number of years ago, two men robbed a train in America, and they were caught and were sentenced to death. And one of them was executed, and the other one had friends who appealed to the president, and eventually the president granted a pardon to the man, and it was handed down, and the man refused it. I don't know what to do, because that never happened before, that someone refused a pardon. And then it was put back all the way up to the Supreme Court. What would we do? And eventually the Supreme Court judged that it was only valid, the pardon, if it was accepted. Therefore, it was withdrawn. And the man was executed. You're not being offered a choice in the glad tidings tonight. You've been offered a pardon that you desperately need. A pardon for your sins. A pardon that is granted by God by virtue of the finished work of Christ, who has borne your liability if you'll accept him on Calvary's cross. You're not being offered a choice. These words of the Lord Jesus are not popular in the world tonight, because people think that there are various ways to reach God, various paths that you can take. It's a lie of Satan. I am the way. Jesus is the only way to God. Faith in Christ is the only way of salvation. That woman, that young woman who had the spirit of faith and said, "These men announce the way of salvation, Paul and Silas." It was true then, it's true tonight. The only way of salvation is faith in Christ. The answer given to the Philippian jailer is valid tonight. Why? Because your condition is exactly the same. It needs no updating whatever. The gospel has never needed updating. Man's condition is exactly the same as a way from God. We belong to a race that's fallen. Every single one of us. We have nothing to recommend ourselves to God. People are doing that, you know. They're living the best life they can, hoping that in the end that the good things will rub out the bad things. That's another lie of Satan. God requires that the matter of your sins are dealt with, because we're all sinners, every single one of us. There's no exceptions. You know, that's why the gospel is relevant to everybody tonight in the world. It's relevant. It's a message that needs to be heard, and it needs to be accepted. It's not preached for you to decide whether you'll accept it or not. It's preached for your acceptance. And because there's no other way that you can be saved tonight, if you don't accept God's offer of salvation, judgment awaits you. It's as simple as that. God cannot overlook sin, you know. God could not pass the sinner by. Justice demands that he should die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. Think of that. Think of the work of Christ satisfying the holiness and righteousness of God completely, so that he could come out in love towards you and I with a pardon that was secured in the blood of Christ. It's so important that we don't make light of God's offer of salvation. It could be withdrawn at any time. And any one of us may never hear the gospel again. We don't have to be old to die. We've been affected this week by that 1 year old child that was taken on Monday night in an accident. The Lord took her home. How wonderful that is in one sense. But what if persons have come to the age of responsibility and are hurled from time into eternity? No further opportunity. People say, you know, some people are preaching that you can be saved perhaps after you die, or that you could be saved after the Lord came, and you might accept the gospel then. That's another lie of Satan. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Salvation is offered today. We don't know about tomorrow. Persons say, you know, that my God wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that. How right they are, because their God doesn't exist. You can't have your own God. To us there is one God, the Father, the God who's revealed himself in the most precious way. The Thessalonians turned from idols to serve a living and true God and await his Son from the heavens. That's salvation, you know. That's what's available to everyone tonight. Have you accepted Christ as your Saviour? Think of his hands outstretched in blessing. But think of what he passed through in order that you might receive this tonight. You ever thought about that? Think about the sufferings of Christ. Think of how it involved my Saviour leaving the glory, coming into the human condition. You know, he emptied himself in coming into manhood. That is, he divested himself of the glory that belonged to him, and he was found in figure as a man. And as a man, he humbled himself. You know, the life of Christ was precious to heaven. It was very different from your life. Very different. Your life's been studied. Everybody's life has been studied by God. You know, it says in the Proverbs that the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all the paths. Think of that. Think of God's grace following you throughout your life. You know, following you in the door tonight. I love to think of it. God's grace, you know. God's grace followed the thief, didn't it? All the way until the day that he was sentenced to die the same day as Jesus. And placed him next to the only man who could save him in the dying moments of his life. That's grace. That's divine grace. God's grace follows a man throughout his life. Think of being offered such salvation tonight. Jesus moved here under the eye of heaven, a life like no other life, but a life that had to be surrendered in death before I could stand here and tell you such a preaching. That precious blood had to be shed to meet God's holy and righteous claims so that you could go free, so that I could go free. Marvelous, you know. What does the cross mean to you? Is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be sorrow like unto my sorrow, whom Jehovah hath afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. The fierce anger of God fell upon the head of my Saviour for the sins that I had committed. Think of it. His well-beloved Son. That judgment was in no way lessened because of who he was or how precious he was. Judgment fell on his head. It was due to me and you. And the judgment was exhausted. These words, you know, it is finished, are the most precious words in the whole Bible. You know what they mean? paid in full. That's what the Greek means. Paid in full. It used to be written on invoices when they were paid. Paid in full. It is finished. The judgment was exhausted. There was nothing left to be done. And virtue, yeah, you can come into the full virtue of that saving blood through accepting Christ right now as your Saviour. Isn't that wonderful? What does the cross mean to us, you know? It should affect us. It should affect us week by week. We need to keep close to the cross. I don't mean we don't move on from the cross, but we remember that that's where our liberty was secured. Where we got freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, where we got peace, where we got joy that no one else could afford us. Someone wrote in relation to the cross, you know, that there was three men, there was three crosses. There was one hell. One died condemned, one died forgiven, one died innocent. One died in sin, one died to sin, one died for sin. One was held by death, one was released by death, one conquered death. One lost his life, one gained his life, one was life. That was Jesus. He gave up his life. You know, death will overtake us if the Lord tarries every one of us because of his sin. But death would never have overtaken Jesus. You know, our death will be the consequence of our life. His death was the purpose of his life. He came to die. He came to take on your liability. He came to remove the order of man that could never please God from his sight forever. That's why the death and burial of Christ is so important. That he went out of sight. He took my place and he went out of sight. And he comes out of death in a new condition. His spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see me having. The blood of Christ was shed on Calvary's cross to meet my liability. Is that precious to you? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Love him for what he's done, for where he is now. He's no longer in death. He's risen, glorious Saviour. No, the resurrection of Christ is a vital part of the glad tidings. If Christ is not raised, we're still in our sins with no hope. Christ is raised. You know, I think of Festus didn't understand anything about Jewish religion or anything about the Lord Jesus or anything. One thing he knew from Paul was that a certain Jesus who had died was alive. That's what he knew. That's what he heard. A certain Jesus. Paul affirms to be living. Think of Paul affirming that Christ was alive. Why? Because he met him on the Damascus Road. He met him in person. What a transaction that was, you know. When the Lord Jesus intervened in that man's life directly. What a day in your life when the Lord Jesus intervenes. You know, think of that. It's wonderful to think of divine grace intervening in a person's life and turning it around. That's what the Lord has done for me. I'm sure he's done it for many here. Will you allow the Lord to intervene in your life tonight and accept him as the alone Saviour? The one, the way, the truth, and the life. We're living in a world where people speak about my truth and your truth and this truth. There is only one truth, and it's in a blessed, glorious person, the Lord Jesus. Things that are opposite can't both be the truth and the life. Life is found alone in Jesus. Only there is offered thee. People speak about living. That means doing their own will, you know. A believer was on a plane in America, and he's sitting next to this woman, and he said, well, where do you come from? And she said, Palm Springs. Oh, he says, what kind of a place is Palm Springs? And she says, it's a beautiful place full of unhappy people. And he said, are you one of them? She says, yes, I am. She says, when I was 40, I needed glasses, and I started to realize that my life was coming apart. And he preached the gospel to her. I don't know what the outcome was, but that's what the thing is. This world is full of unhappy people who've never been better off, never had more of the world's goods. But it doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring satisfaction. It can only be found in Christ. And this glorious Saviour is offered to you tonight. Will you accept Him? The way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death. Oh, my friend, what train are you on tonight? In the station of life. You walk in and there's this grand train standing. Very attractive. Very plush. But it doesn't have any notice where it's going. There's the other one. And it's going to glory which train are you on. Satan doesn't want you to know where the train's going. He knows where he's going. And he wants to take you with him. He has no love for you. He comes to the gospel. You know, he tries to snatch the work of me. He has no love for you, whatever. Satan wants to destroy man. You know, that's all he's interested in, man. Blind in the eyes of the unbelief. But the radiancy of the gospel is still shining tonight. The radiancy of the glory of Christ. And it's what is an offer in the glad tidings. Will you accept Christ as your Saviour and come into the most wonderful blessing? Not only your past settled, but your future secured and your present happy in the Saviour. Think of what blessings you receive in the glad tidings. Peace that you never known before, because everything's been settled by the one who made peace by the blood of his cross. Joy, because everything that could interrupt that joy has been removed. Salvation, redemption, the Holy Spirit, an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ. This is all offered in the glad tidings. It all comes in the glad tidings. Every blessing of God comes. You have to open the box to find out the fullness of the blessing that's in it. Let us do that. If we've never accepted Christ as a Saviour, let us do so now before we leave this door. I wouldn't be discharging my responsibility if anyone left this room tonight without knowing the way of salvation, without knowing that they were a Saviour and that there's a Saviour ready to receive them right at this moment. May you come, for his name.
Amen. Amen.